Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas and concepts that will lead you to maybe changing your mind. Changing your mind. Everybody tries to get you to change your mind. You know, we have a natural resistance to change. It seems to make sense. If you're sitting in a spot and somebody comes along and says, move, you don't want to move. You want to stay in your spot. That's where you're comfortable. If somebody comes along and says, move, because there's going to be a fire under you in a minute, you, oh, okay, maybe I'll move. If they say move because that other chair is better than the chair you're sitting in, okay, maybe I'll move. But if they just say move, it doesn't do you any good. Yet. Today, I want to talk about change. The process of change, the nature of change, and the resistance to it. One wonders what it would be like if we sat still and have, instead of having people all the time tell you, you should change something. You know, what do you want to change? People tell you to change the way you, change your emotions, change the way you feel. They don't like what you feel. You feel something, they say, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Don't feel that way. Don't be sad. Don't cry. Don't be angry. They want you to change your attitude. Don't be sour. Don't be depressed. Sometimes they want you to change your loyalties. You know what he said and what she said, and they try to get you to side up with them instead of somebody else. Sometimes they want you to change your sexuality. You know, hey, why don't you be more sexy and be my way sexy so I could have more sex with you? Or maybe I want less sex, so therefore I want you to change your sexuality. Don't be so horny, mister. Sometimes people ask you to alter your honesty. You know, you shouldn't claim everything when you do your taxes. You realize at this time of year when people are doing taxes, there's a whole bunch of people out there who are in some way saying, I'm going to cheat the government. Even if they believe in the government. You know, I know a bunch of people who last year when Obama got elected said this year they're going to file an absolute return so that they give the government all the taxes it's due. That was their original commitment, but they kind of changed their mind. But people try to get you to change your honesty. People try to get you to join them in things. Other people who you might get you to change your friends. Let me tell you, your friends are no good for you. Or they try to alienate you from your own family. Some people want you to change your smell. Hey, take a bath. Brush your teeth. Put on this perfume. Change. Well, if everybody is trying to change everybody, what's the story here? Should everybody change? And why do we resist change? That's a big question. I'm going to ask that question today. And the other question is, should we change? Now, there are people who are always changing for other people. There are people who are, they're not chameleons. Chameleons are different. Chameleons are voluntary. But they just change themselves automatically to please other people. Yes, sir, whatever you say. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say. I'll do what you say. I was talking to a man earlier today who told me about his relationship with his wife. And he said, you know, our relationship is growing into that place. That place where the two of us get together and we have now browbeating, derogatory remarks, where we're talking at each other with bitter terms. We blame each other for who's responsible for the misery. There's criticism back and forth, sarcasm, and there's withholding of love. These are the ingredients of what I call an average marriage. Yes, not a miserable marriage, but an average marriage. In an average marriage, people are working at each other all the time. They kind of set up a separation. And inside every one of these marriages, there's this desire, I wish you would change. I wish you'd change your hormones. I wish you'd change your attitude. I wish you'd change. But that's not what a relationship seems to be about, and people resist change. People don't like to change. Sometimes you change so much that you get to a point where you're explosive. Explosive, and you just want to say, no more. I'm not going to take it anymore. No, 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 I won't. You know, like that TV movie where he's going, I'm not going to take it anymore. No, throw your TVs out the windows. Not going to take it anymore. So I was talking to this man about his marriage, and he was saying, you know, I said to him, why do you do this? Why do you put up with these stuff, these illusions that your wife brings to you about how she wants you to be more sensitive when you're not and how she wants you to talk more when you can't? I said, why are you building a case against her? This is Armand DeMille with you, by the way, with the positive mind. And she said, he said to me, because I just don't want to have trouble. I said, you know what you're building towards? You're building towards the no more point. He said, what's a no more point? It's the point where you explode. Everybody who bends themselves into a pretzel eventually breaks out of it and says no more. And when they say no more, they go to a great distance. No more. Reminded me of a play I saw many years ago, Golden Boy, with Sammy Davis Jr. And in this play, Sammy Davis Jr. is talking about how he was kind of like he bended to everybody's will. And he decided that it was time to stand up. Now, what was beautifully dramatic about this was that it was in the 60s. And this was mainly about fighting and the prize fighting. But in watching this, I'm sitting in an audience in a Broadway theater with mostly a white audience. And these black characters, actors, who are boxers, start singing this song, No More. And as they're singing No More, they march up the stage from stage back to stage front, going right in your face as the audience, singing this No More. It was so potent. You could feel the change taking place right there on the earth as this happened. In fact, I think I'll bring it to you today. I want you to hear No More. I want you to feel it inside you. I want you to feel the number of times you've traded love and decided maybe there'll be a day when I say no more. So let's bring it to you today. And let's start this off with our conversation. We'll be taking your calls today too. But here, my friends, from Golden Boy, imagine saying this to people who have bargained your love.
I gave you my soul. Well, no more. Now I'll kiss your eyes. No more. How I trusted you. Now I ask what for. But no more. Well, you had your chance.
No more.
Now I'll play the fool.
No more.
Close the door. Oh. you'll laugh at me no more. How I bled for you no more. Shed my skin for you no your slave no more.
Well,
you had your way
no more.
Well, it ain't your day
no
more. Yes, I'm standing up.
Oh, well, I'm standing right up.
I ain't on the floor.
Ain't on the floor.
I ain't bowing down no more.
I ain't gonna cry no more.
Ain't gonna cry anymore.
No, I ain't gonna cry no more.
Just wanted love. Why did it turn to war? I ain't bowing down. I ain't bowing down.
Lord, you hear me?
Cry no
Sammy Davis Jr. from Golden Boy. You see, Freud said, he liked Sammy Davis Jr. No, Freud said, we find a comfort zone, and we get in this comfort zone, and we want to hang out in it, and it's just a comfort zone. Now, for all we know, the comfort zone is the familiar. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind, by the way. If you just tuned in thinking you heard some pretty music, where we teach psychology on the air. 1 to 2 o'clock, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So Freud said, we have this comfort zone, And we kind of hang out in this comfort zone. Now, the comfort zone may be very uncomfortable. It's like if you ever laid on the sand and you sleep on pebbles. The pebbles are uncomfortable. But if you squish yourself in, you get maximum possible out of something uncomfortable. But now, you would never think of sleeping on a mattress or sleeping without pebbles, because the pebbles are all you know. So if you grow up in a childhood where people talk badly to you and people treat you badly, that's your comfort zone. This is the way it is. I tell stories about when I was a kid. When I was a kid, in the neighborhood I grew up, everybody hit the kids. We were beaten by our parents, by our neighbors, by our neighbors' parents, by the priests, by the nuns. They hit us all the time. Straps, hands, sticks. We believed that being hit was part of life. What a funny thing when somebody told us, no, nobody should hit you. You know, a whole new concept. Because the comfort zone was, you get beaten. That's the way it is. Now, let's say you're somebody who's used to being abused, psychologically, physically. Your comfort zone is the abuse. And in fact, what you will do is search for that very same abuse, because that's your comfort zone. Now, Freud said that you live in your comfort zone until your comfort zone becomes intolerable, and then you kind of roll out of it into another comfort zone, which may not be better, but it's just different. Jung, C.G. Jung, one of his students said, nah, not exactly. In order to leave a comfort zone, you have to have a belief in yourself. You have to have a belief in the fact that you may survive the change. Well, what about you? What about those of you who would like to see change in yourself? Do you believe you would survive the change? Many of you say, what would I do? You live in a loveless marriage. You say, but I will be alone, and I don't know how well I'll do alone. You know? Oh, and that makes a lot of sense. Listen, my friends, I'm not advocating change. I believe if you're in a spot where you've dug in, congratulations. If you have found a way not to change, terrific. If you are resistant and you could keep everybody at bay, fine. If you can maintain the status quo, and the status quo is not intolerable, good for you. I am proud of you. If you want to make a change, do it under your own steam, not under somebody else's pressure. And if you want to make a change and we could help you make the change, well, then maybe some of what we have to say to you will help. But I'm not telling you you have to change. You've got enough of that. So some people don't know how uncomfortable their comfort zone is. You know, the devil you know is different than the devil you don't know. So the one you know can be there and it could just feel miserable, but the one you don't know could be a lot scarier. There is a thing called repetition compulsion. Let's talk about that. Repetition compulsion. What a concept. Repetition compulsion is a concept of another one by Freud's, I believe. It's a psychological phenomenon in which a person repeats a traumatic circumstance over and over again. It includes reenacting the event or putting oneself in situations where the event is likely to happen again. Now listen to this one. This is so cute. Today I saw the most adorable human being, person came in, intelligent, smart, and woman came to see me, and she said to me, when I was little, my father, who was in a different country, sent me audio tapes of his voice. And I would listen to the audio tapes of his voice, and I felt safe, because he sent us tapes. And she said, you know, I'm a big fan of yours on the radio. I said, oh, you listen to me on the same machine that you would have listened to your father's tapes on. And she said, yes, that's true. I said, so in effect, you're getting from me what you got from your dad. She repeated it. You understand? She was able to repeat it. She was able to reproduce it by reproducing her father's safe voice on a tape with my voice on the radio. Many of you have an attachment to me that is based on some attachment from the past that felt safe to you. A repetition compulsion very often has to do with something that hurt that you repeat over and over again and you can't stop yourself. It includes reenacting an event or putting yourself in situations where the event is likely to happen again. Thus, you relive things over and over again. When Freud wrote about this, he wrote it in The Pleasure Principle. He observed a child who threw his favorite toy from the crib, and he became upset at the loss. Then he reeled the toy back in, only to throw it away again and cry. Indeed, similar behavior is common in children who throw their toy out of their reach and then cry for it to be retrieved from them, for them. The drama becomes the having it go away and then crying and then having it come back. How many of us create that situation for ourselves? We lose something and then we cry about it. And then we set it up so we lose it again. It's almost predictable. I have a friend who calls it blowing up. He says he has this one woman who he loves very much. He says, I love her. She's really fantastic. I spend time with her. She's great. But she's going to blow up. I said, what do you mean she's going to blow up? He said, she's going to have an explosion. She's going to find a reason to run away from me. She's going to be close, close, close to me. And then all of a sudden, she's going to blow up. And she'll say, you said what? What was that word you said? He said, if I say one word, she'll use that against me. If I say one thing, if I feel one thing, and it'll just blow up. And she'll disappear for 4 days. He says, it's what she does. He said, so I love her. And I'm going to wait for her to blow up. And I said, well, what does that do for you? He says, well, this way I'm safe. I never have to get close, too close. Because I know she's going to blow up. Because she always does. Well, enough of what the drama of her life is. What's the drama in his life, being it safe this way? Freud believed that there are two ways the past is relived. One is through memories and the other is through actions. And the actions are through what's called a repetition compulsion. And the repetition compulsion means repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, do it over and over and over again. Now, a couple of people believe that we'd keep doing it over until we get mastery over it. And then once we get mastery over it, we stop repeating it. We move on. Like if you're going to love somebody who's going to reject you, right? You pick somebody who's going to reject you, and you get devastated by their rejection. And then you pick somebody else who rejects you, and you get devastated by their rejection. Now, the new theory is that the reason you do this is not so you pick better, it's so that you get less devastated. See? Now what happens, you pick somebody who rejects you, and you're less devastated by their rejection. Because you're saying to yourself, I know I picked that person, but they're going to blow up. And when they blow up, I'm not going to be as hurt. So what begins to change is your sensitivity to the rejection, not who you pick. And eventually, you don't see it as rejection anymore. You see it as the ending of something that almost was, and you move on. So one way of moving on is not to choose better, but to choose your reaction better, to have a better reaction. Repetition compulsion, Freud believed, was an attempt to recreate the drama just so you could repeat it. Harville Hendricks and a number of other people say, no, the reason we repeat it is so that we can get better at it. Just think about your last 10 relationships and how over the last 10 relationships you've gotten better. Not your mates have gotten better. You got better at handling them over and over again. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. A woman who is abused as a child can walk into a crowded room where there are many men, but inevitably she'll gravitate to the one man who seems charming and caring. won't be long, he'll be making her feel just like the very parent who abused her. She'll pick it. He'll create the same dynamic. Feelings of worthlessness, despair, fear, walking on eggshells. See, it's familiar. She may have had several men interested in her, but soon gets bored with them and didn't create the familiar crisis she needs, because if she has this crisis, she feels alive, because she feels involved. Thus, repetition. Do it over and do it over and do it over. Sure, we become disheartened, depressed, apathetic. We medicate with food, booze, drugs, sleep, or a new relationship, but we take out our frustration on our helpless children under our care. It's easy to do because children know how to hit our buttons. Children know when we need relief. So they push our buttons so we explode, and they become our sounding boards. Children's minds are like sponges. They're just soaking up all the vibes, and then that very child is going to go out and repeat this very, very same pattern over and over again. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? We get better. We get better all the time. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about resistance, and we're talking about the resistance to change. I must tell you, if you are resisting change, it's because you believe that once was, always is, and will be, and that things are not going to change. So why would you change? We're going to take your phone calls today about you and change. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. Not yet. Not yet. I'm in a music-playing mood today. So we're going to talk to you further about this. We're going to talk to you further about the different changes. We're going to talk to you about what happens to you. And I want to introduce you to a character. A character called the Engineer. The Engineer. I believe that every one of us have inside of us a piece of us that is keeping us physically alive. There is some spirit, something that masters everything. One would think it's your brain. What is it? What's the thing that tells you when to duck when something is swinging at your head? When to eat when you're hungry? What is the master control inside you called? What do you call it? Your mind, yourself, your consciousness? There is one item inside you. One character, one master character that is in control of all of your well-being, and its sole purpose is to keep you alive. I call that being the Engineer. I have an engineer, you have an engineer. Your engineer is going to keep you alive no matter what. So when your engineer sees that you're lacking in water, it drives you to drink water. When it sees that you're hungry, it gets you to eat food. When it sees you in danger, it gets you to move. The engineer knows only one thing. It knows what once was, is, and will always be. It believes that anything that once happened to you will be repeated. So it believes that you should not do anything different than you've done in the past. You should just repeat what you've done in the past. That's the best thing for you. The engineer is like it's invisible, you can't see it. But it's in control of everything. It's in control of your dreams. It's in control of your digestion. It's in control of your spirit. It's in control of your energy. It's what it does. It keeps you alive. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the engineer, and we're going to be taking your calls. But right now, my friends, before we go any further, a little, how about a short break here at WBAI, and then perhaps a little more music, and then back to you. We're going to take a short break. I'll be right back.
Mbana siben Tungu damoni mobo lawa Mabu kondanyi babu be Jibula lanjong masi Vini yende mba mongo kawudu Yene ngolo ebu kinde bimbabu Masi Walk, 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 walk Udo onanye mbabobe Ibolanjo masi Eni nyende mamungo kabudu Yene bolo ebe bukinde bwembabo DJ Amunjami Esele bumbo watete Diba nono Uma wane nyolo nyola che Nalo matenye na baladu Diba nono Bakuto ede huona wo Diba nono Danse nono Diba nono Danse nono Bale de huona wo Diba nono Danse nono Diba nono Danse nono
Bakuko de Bande kona yama kujuru Sama e Un, deux, trois, quatre Un, deux, trois, quatre Se bate kane banana
Woko woko
Ah oh
Woko woko
Ah mi amor
Woko woko
Ato peti Yami ene nambo Tewa vino bani sepa ngambo
Woko woko Lende
Aye ye Ato pena ngoba
Pretty stuff, huh?
Ato pena ngoba
Lende Ghana Blues, G-H-A-N-A, Toto Bona Lokua. What could I tell you? This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Talking to you about the engineer. Mike, I think there's a mic open in the studio. Talking about the engineer. Just put that right back for you. There we go. Hi there. Talking about the engineer. The engineer, so the sole purpose of the engineer, keep this. There's a character. You don't believe this. I know nobody believes it. Everybody believes they're in control of their own destiny and fate. No, no, no. If you're a deer drinking water and you hear a bird rustling from a tree, your ear perks up and you turn around and you say, there be a lion nearby who wants to make lunch out of me. You don't even think it. You just react. The engineer. The engineer is like Lamont Cranston. Now, you don't know who Lamont Cranston is. Lamont Cranston was the shadow. The shadow had this talent. It had the talent to make you believe it's invisible, you see. The shadow wasn't invisible because if you shot a bullet at the shadow, you could kill him. But the shadow had a way of clouding your mind so you couldn't see him. The engineer has a way of clouding your mind so you can't see the engineer in operation. So you think it's you doing this stuff, but it's the engineer. Why did you sleep late? You want to get to work on time, right? But you're always late for work. The engineer. The engineer is saying no. No, I refuse to let you become a full-grown adult human being. I refuse to let people take you seriously. You're much safer if people think of you as somebody dispensable. You're much safer if people don't depend on you. So I'm never going to let anybody depend on you. So every time anybody expects you, I'm going to have you be late. Call it passive-aggressive behavior, but the engineer's at work here. It wants you never to be taken seriously. It wants you to be, in everybody's eyes, some kind of fool. So that you're free that way. So that you could escape that way. So you're like a slithery D, a snake that could kind of move out. So nobody could grab you. Engineer. The engineer will get you, and you'll make up excuses for yourself. It'll have you do things. It'll have you get angry when you shouldn't get angry, get sad when you shouldn't get sad. Sometimes when you work too hard, the engineer makes you sick. Right? You got to stay home. The engineer. The engineer gets up a full head of steam when it senses that you're thinking about change. Oh, the engineer doesn't like that. Hears that word change and he says, what's that fool thinking of now? Last time they wanted a change, they invited somebody to move in with them. That was hell. Then that person started breaking our chops about what they wanted out of us. That was miserable. We had to get rid of that person. What's this change? Going to a therapist? Uh-oh. Look at that therapist. They just want your money. They're no good for you. You're not getting anywhere. You're wasting your time. Engineer, engineer, engineer. It's a subtle manipulator. And it makes you believe things that just don't make sense. It makes you see, it tells you that, well, call manager once said it. We love the right people for the wrong things and the wrong people for the right things. Part of what the engineer does. The engineer says, hey, you want real love? Good, let me pick this guy for you. And it picks a psychopath. So you have the right thing, real love, wrong person. Or it says to you, you want a real person in your life? Go get a job with this person. So it sends you to the right person, but it sends you for the wrong thing. Very often men meet women and they want to see them sexually. And they focus on sex when what they really want is love. That's the right person, wrong thing. See? But the impulse to keep this going is just so strong because you're a survivor. And if you can keep getting through over and over again, doing the same stuff over and over again, the engineer would be very happy. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. So you all know changes that you've gone through and changes that you can't make. And I say to you, stop with this killing yourself for not making changes. It is time to celebrate not making changes. You're stuck in that one place so long. Good for you. Good for you. You got through. Most of the people I see for one time. I see people who come to me for a one-time consultation. I am always amazed how people got through the rough times. And I tell them, fantastic. What a mind to have gotten here. It's time. It's time for us to accept that the engineer is there for our benefit, wants to take care of us. There's only one way you get the engineer to relax. See, imagine that your whole being was a house, and the engineer was on the roof, in the basement, at the front door, and at every window. And it's peeking out all the time saying, what kind of stuff are you going to bring in our house? And we got to keep stuff away. Well, let's say you bring in a child, and the child has just a peanut butter sandwich. And the child brings in the peanut butter sandwich, and they visit you, and you have the peanut butter sandwich, and the child leaves. The engineer, who is preventing you the entire time, saying, don't let that kid in here. What a neighbor's going to say. Don't eat that food because it may be poison. Look at that white bread. It's got too many carbohydrates. All that stuff. That kid leaves. The engineer says, that wasn't too bad. Maybe we'll let another kid in here. Right? The engineer learns by positive experience. It does not learn by forcing something down its throat. So each time we introduce something new, the engineer relaxes its guard. So maybe it could come off the roof in the summer. You know, maybe it could come out of the basement in the winter. Maybe it doesn't have to watch the front door all the time. Maybe the engineer becomes a little more flexible. Maybe the engineer becomes your friend. Only when you realize that the engineer is your friend, that it's there for only one purpose, to save you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hi there.
Speak to you, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
People, it just seems like people just don't want you to change. I mean, they want you to change, but they hate when they see you change. And they want you to think, you have to think just, you have to feel just like they do.
Well, let me see.
It's been funny lately.
Talk to me about you. What change do people want, not one of you?
Okay, I'm still remaining the same, but there's other dimensions of me. For example, let's say I got a few tattoos, but I'm not going off the deep end. I'm hanging out with different people. I'm also keeping all my other friends, but I'm just, there's other dimensions of me.
Sure, so new parts of you have opened up, but you have other people who say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I like that they like me the way I am. That's good.
See, it's all part of it. So now here's what you've built into it. What you've built in is you're the kind of guy who builds in spite of resistance. See, you need, it's you don't like a clear path. You've invited people into your life who are going to give you a little bit of resistance to your change because that's the way you change best. You need a little resistance from the outside to push against. If you didn't need it, you would not have created it. Fine. So you have... What? So you've created... Yeah, you've created these friends who say to you, what are you doing? And you say, I'm doing what I feel like doing. And they go, well, okay.
But not even so much how I act. I don't even... will say something. And they... I'm not confrontational, but I'm not readily... Like, they'll say, don't you feel... Times are so much greater 20 years ago. And I'll just say, not necessarily. And I sympathize with how they feel, but I don't feel that way.
Sure. Okay, so what they see, it becomes a problem. When you want to connect with somebody, what if I said this to you? What's your first name, by the way?
Mark.
Mark. What if I said this to you? Hey, Mark. 20 years ago, I felt more comfortable physically than I do today. Did you feel more comfortable physically 20 years ago than you do today?
Well, now, I will definitely agree with your statement.
Okay, wait.
How you feel.
Right, and what about you, Mark? Would you say it for yourself? 20 years ago, were you physically a little more comfortable than you are today? A little bit.
You know, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. I don't dwell on that.
So now we have, here we have the ingredient. I'm not asking you to dwell on it. I'm asking you a question.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not...
Yeah, right. I'm asking you a question. Mark, physically
a little... comfortable 20 years ago.
Sure. Now we both agree. But I said the same thing to you that your other friends said to you. They just didn't own it. They said life was better 20 years ago. They didn't say, I felt better 20 years ago. How did you feel? So therefore, they're kind of throwing something at you that's very hard for you to agree with or disagree with. Because people aren't talking directly, yes. Yeah. So let me ask you something. 20 years ago, what was your closest relationship?
20 years ago, my girlfriend.
And now?
Well, and my mom and dad, too. And then siblings. But I still have those. I'm still not as close to them.
You're not as close to your family as you used to be?
You know, I said I'm about as close, so maybe I'm a little less. That was kind of a 40-inch slip.
What was the difference 20 years ago and now?
You have different opinions on things.
Sure, you got tattoos, too.
That's where we're, my opening statement.
You know, Mark, and you have tattoos, and tattoos tell me something. Tattoos tell me that you want to decorate your body your way. And your family's not going to like your tattoos. Your mother's not going to say, what beautiful tattoos. So you're making a statement to your mom. Mom, this is my way.
But yet I don't go overboard and get them all over myself like that. I don't like people like that either. So I'm somewhere in between.
I understand.
As far as like, the type of person.
But you are
There's
making
part of me that doesn't like them either. Doesn't like somebody who overdoes something. Or that type of person.
Mm-hmm. So you're a guy of moderate means who likes to build with resistance. So you're quite a character, quite a guy.
Yeah, and I can, most people who are, let's say, I have a whole bunch of tattoos, would hear Armand DeMille and go, What's this psychobabble? I don't
Mr. Psychobabble.
And it's like, oh, man, you're not appreciating something great here.
Mark, thank you so much. I'll be looking forward to you in 20 years. We got to look again.
Thanks, Armand.
Thanks again.
It's a pleasure.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand, I have to ask you a question, and I have to make mention of something also. You know what? Let me make a quick mention. You know, are you having, on Saturday, Eli Jackson Bear is giving a talk. Are you having him on the air tomorrow?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to go see him. But I need to ask you something. You're talking about change, and it's right on par with what I'm going through. I've been unemployed now for 2 years, and I keep getting these extensions, and I thought my unemployment was running out just in a couple of weeks, and I went to a social services agency that helps people find employment, and they've wound up, they're hiring me to start a job, and then I called unemployment yesterday and found out I got yet another extension, and so I have another 14 weeks to collect, and although I'm barely existing, paying my rent and my bills, I feel a great reluctance in going back to work. I hate to admit it, but
sure.
I've become so comfortable.
Sure, we're talking about the comfort zone.
With just like, and I'm wearing clothing right now that's torn in various places, not out of style. I'm wearing it out of necessity because I can't just afford to buy more clothes. So I'm living a really crazy life right now where I can't I can barely pay the rent and my bills, but yet there's this part of me that says I don't want to go back to work.
Of course.
And I'm predicting all kinds of things like, you know, what is this job going to be like, and what are the people going to be like, and how on earth am I going to get out of bed on time, and then I've got to catch the train, and, you know, this is so unfair. Why can't the rest of my life just be like this? This is just, you know...
Let me respond to you a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now look, your conundrum... Is valid. I could absolutely feel it because I think it's... Could you turn down your radio, by the way?
I don't have my radio on.
Oh, I hear an echo in the background. Okay. Somewhere inside you, you're going through something that so many people in the nation are going through. Mm. This thing about the extended benefits, which are so necessary with so many people, has given us some kind of a false reading of what unemployment is and puts people in this spot that you're in.
Mm.
The question is, why would you want to go back to work if the summer is coming?
Yes.
Right? Here comes spring. Here comes summer.
The sun is out.
Well, what are you doing wanting to go back to work? And I, of course, know that for me, I would want to work no matter what because I feel productive. But taking a job working somewhere where I feel non-productive instead of laying out in the park, that's a hard decision to make.
Not only that, but this job pays so little, it's beyond belief.
I mean, you barely get paid.
It's more than I'm getting on unemployment.
Right.
Like,
it's
so little.
A tiny bit more, like you're getting 8% more.
Mm.
And you have to put in 100%.
Yes.
So now, what about your heart? What about your sense of yourself? And here's
the thing is that part of me says... You know, I could call them and I could say, hey, I have a family emergency. I'm being called out of town. Can't take the job. And then I could, you know, but I know also, like, St. Vincent's Hospital closed yesterday, something like 5,000
sure.
people.
I saw it.
5,000 people out of work. They're all going to be going after the same jobs that I'm going after.
But it's not a matter of just the jobs. It's talking about the comfort zone. Do you have this piece of you that says, I want to be in society, not on the outside? Now, you're going to see Eli Jackson Bear over the weekend.
Mm.
Because Eli is going to help you talk about your own finding yourself, your vital self. And you obviously are a seeker of your vital self. When I ask you, what choice would your vital self make? That's a very important question because I'm going to respect any way you choose.
I guess I have to answer that by saying, I've got to take the job because of the situation that we're in. I mean,
it's not just the situation.
There's no other cause.
It's for the sake of your mind.
Sorry?
It's for the sake of your mind.
Peace of mind.
No, not only peace of mind, active mind, vibrant mind, working mind, getting up in the morning mind, joining society mind.
I don't see it that way. I see it more as survival.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that's why you wouldn't want to do it.
Mm.
And, you know, you got my respects no matter what you do. But I kind of sense where you want to go. And I would love to inspire you.
So what would you recommend?
Well, you see, I need you. I personally need you as a teacher. You're a man who knows things. You know about life. You know about people. You know about love. You know about integrity. And you're going to be part of the working world. And if you're part of the working world, then you touch people, and you touch people around you, and people come to you for help, and you touch them. And I am selfish. I need teachers like you in this world. So I'm going to ask you, do me a favor. Please join this world.
Mm.
Please be on our team.
It's funny you should say that, because it's kind of a social services
position. Sounds perfect. Just exactly where we need you. You know? You're vital.
So are you.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for being there.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that problem, by the way, is one I think about a great deal. Extended again. I have so many people I know who say, no, I'm not going back to work. We got extended. There's a mistake being made here. Somewhere. It's a mistake. 212-209-2900. Time for one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Well, maybe we don't have time for one more call. So listen, my friends, we've been talking about resistance. And a final note for you, you know, there is no right way or wrong way. Resistance just is something that happens when there's a sense of change. But now what is change? Change isn't just, you know, you do one thing and then you do another. Real change exists when something dies. In order for there to be real change, there has to be rebirth. And I'm not just using catchwords. A real change is when you change your attitude and you feel born again. You feel a difference. It's a transformation. But in order for that to happen, a part of you has to die. You have to let this other part of you, the part that, for example, the part with a man who just called, who's living on the dole, who's saying, well, okay, I got these easy mornings, I don't have to wake up, I collect unemployment. That part has to die, and death is painful. So you got to let yourself go through a death, go through a grieving, and then let the newness form, and the newness is a form of rebirth. I know these are just phrases and words, but I don't mean them lightly, my friend. Stick with me tomorrow. We'll be back with you at 1 p.m. This is Armand DeMille. My special thanks for being with us. We're going to take, today I'm going to play you some music on the way out the door. This is from Michael. Harry James. Let's bring you some Harry James and some lively music. You could get today's program on thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Here's something special. You get up off your chairs, wiggle your hips, or just sit there and dance with your hands. Did you ever try a hand dance? Try it now. Just try moving your hands. That's it. Just your hands. Now your fingers. Now use your fingers, right? That's it. Now your head. You throw your head right into it. Do a hand dance. All right. I'm in there with you. We'll be right back.